Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring Jane Wyman and Ronald Reagan in Nobody Lives Forever. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. One of the pictures I directed at Warner Brothers some time ago included in its cast two young, talented players destined not only for triumphant screen careers, but also for happy married life together. They were, as you've already guessed, the stars of tonight's Lux Radio Theater play, Ronald Reagan and Jane Wyman. They bring you Warner Brothers' recent screen hit, Nobody Lives Forever, an exciting drama of what happens when love complicates the intrigues of a big-time racketeer. Naturally, since pictures first united us, I've always valued Jane and Ronald's friendship, and I'm grateful to Lux Toilet Soap for bringing us together in another dramatic venture. But in a larger sense, that's what Lux does every week for millions of people. Brings them together in a common liking for good plays, fine stars, and for the product that makes possible these Monday night reunions, Lux Soap. I'm sure that latter preference is well rewarded. Our clock says curtain time, and here's Act One of Nobody Lives Forever, starring Jane Wyman as Gladys Halverson and Ronald Reagan as Nick Blake. Through the night, several hours out of New York, a fast train speeds westward. In a Pullman compartment, two men have sat in silence for some time. But silence is something that Al Doyle can't endure for very long.
You like your dinner, Nick? You save a pretty good meal on this train, huh?
Yeah, it was okay.
Feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine.
Nick, do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions?
Why should I mind? Go ahead.
I don't get it, Nick. When I started asking you questions before, you got sore. You climbed right up.
Try me now.
Well, for one thing, what are we doing on this train?
We're going to California.
Yeah, that much I can read off the tickets. But why, Nick? Why California?
Like I said, I'm tired. I want a vacation. I've been 2 years in the Army overseas and 8 weeks in the hospital. Yesterday, the Army says I'm a civilian again. Okay, I want to relax for a while.
Yeah, I know, Nick, I know, but what's the matter with someplace closer to New York? Nick, the town is buzzing. I never seen so many square johns with loose dough in my life. The boys are making takes you wouldn't believe, and in very few beats.
Well, why'd you come with me then, Al? Why leave the gold mine?
Ah, because you're the smartest operator I ever seen. Because you always cut me in on all your deals. I'm dumb, but not that dumb to shake you loose, Nick.
And let me handle things my own way, Al.
I still got one question left, Nick. What about her? What about Penny? You saw her last night, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw Penny. Al, you didn't see much of her while I was in the Army, huh?
Oh, now and then, Nick. She don't like me.
I had some dough when I went overseas. $50,000. Turned it all over to her.
You what? You gave that David?
She was going to hold it for me. Except last night she told me it was gone. She'd opened up that nightclub and lost it all.
Lost it? Oh, Nick, that place is doing great. Every nightclub's doing great. How could she lose $50,000?
Eddie King.
Eddie King?
Penny said that when she went broke, he took the place over. But he did more than take over the nightclub. He took over Penny, too.
Did she tell you that?
She didn't have to tell me.
Huh. No doll, no girl. And you let him get away with it.
Depends how you look at it, Al. From where I sit, I'm happy just to be alive. I feel okay.
Yeah, I guess Eddie King feels okay, too.
That I'm not so sure about.
Oh, so you beat up on it. What good did it do you? You can't eat it.
Since when? Here, look.
Huh?
Open up the envelope. Go ahead.
Hey, Nick. Kick, this is money. All this dough, where'd you get it?
Mr. King kicked in.
Oh, how can you do this to me? Why didn't you tell me?
$60,000, Al. My original 50 plus interest.
Well, what do you know? And me thinking that Army life had slowed you down. Okay, Nick, what do we do when we get to California?
You take it easy. I'll rent a place down by the ocean, lap up that sunshine. I'd also like to see an old friend of mine, Pop Gruber. Remember him?
That old has been?
In my book, he's okay. You know what he's doing now? He wrote me last Christmas. There's a park somewhere near the station in L.A. Pop's got a telescope in the park. 10 cents to look at the moon.
Grubbing for dimes.
You know, the first thing I'm going to do when we get to California, I'm going to look at the moon.
See the wonders of nature? Only a dime, folks. 1 dime. See the mountains of the moon. And what do you say, mister?
Where I come from, it used to be a nickel.
And when I come from, guys like you... Nick! Nick, how are you, boy?
I'm fine, Pop. How's the telescope racket?
Looking up, Nick. Looking up. Where'd you come from?
Just got off the train. Thought I'd check up on you.
Oh, am I glad to see you. And what happened, Nick? You let him out of the army?
No, I talked him into a discharge, Pop.
Talked your way out, eh? Same old Nick. You here alone?
Al Doyle's with me, waiting in a cab. Pop, I wanted to thank you for the box you sent me. You know, you and Al were the only guys that remembered me while I was across.
Oh, forget it. Nick, what are you doing out here? You got something lined up?
Not a thing. All I want to do is rest.
Well, where are you going to be staying?
I'll let you know as soon as we settle down. You'll come out, Pop. We'll put a bottle of beer, huh?
Oh, I sure like to, Nick.
Well, I'll look you up in a day or two. So long, Pop.
Gosh. How about it, folks? See the wonders of nature? Just a dime, folks. Just 10 cents.
Hello, Pop.
I'm working when you beat it.
I just seen something better in the moon. It didn't cost me nothing.
I said blow.
Nick Blue, huh? What's he up to, Pop?
He ain't up to nothing. And if he was, you don't think I'd tell you, do you?
It's okay, Pop. But I better tell Doc Jensen that Nick Blake just come to town.
Sit down, Doc. Relax. Why are you skipping all worked up all the time?
No use, huh? No use when there's a $2 million sucker just waiting for us. I can't sleep at night thinking about it. But look at me. No front, no clothes, no nothing. Hanging on in the third-rate hotel just...
I've just been down around the park. I seen someone there, Jack. You remember Nick Blake? I seen him buzzing Pop Kruber.
Nick Blake.
He used to be your pet hate, usn't he, Doc?
Yeah, how come, Doc? He's a top man in the racket, ain't he?
Top man, my foot, he'll get caught up with.
They never caught him yet. I used to know Blake around Broadway. Dames used to go for him like he was...
Well-headed phony.
Wait a minute, Doc. We could use a guy like Blake. That dame with the $2 million?
I'll make a play myself. But I need a bankroll first. I've told you both a dozen times, front. I gotta have front, and that takes money.
Well, now you could make the play, Doc, but I was just thinking, somebody like Blake, see? Maybe you could talk him into staking it.
It's possible. He's not so hard to break down. Just a lucky small-timer with a front, that's all.
Huh.
What's the meaning of that?
Small-timer? Blake?
You heard me. When I first saw him, I had a suite in the best hotel in Miami, and he was knocking around trying to pick up the crumbs.
Oh, maybe so, Doc.
I don't like the guy, and I never did. Don't you're right. We could use him. I can forget my pride when I have to. Okay, I'll go have a talk with Pop Kruber. Hello, Pop.
Yeah?
Where you been the last 2 days, huh? Been looking for you.
Yeah, I ain't been around, Doc.
You went here last night. I thought you'd come in every night for a beer.
Well, I'm here now, ain't I?
Drink up, pal. Huh? Buy you another one.
I only drink 2 beers a night. This is my second.
Now, Nick Blake's in town.
Yeah, he's in town. Matter of fact, I was with him last night.
I've located a sucker, Pop. Blake might be interested in financing the project.
Forget it.
Look, this is the biggest thing there is. All
I
we need
you,
is...
it's no use.
It'll be worth $500 to you if I can find him.
Of course, you got $500.
I will have, and you know you can trust me.
Doc, you and Wendy and Shake haven't seen 5 C's in 5 years.
We all have our ups and downs. That was the biggest I was. Where I was, on top. That's where I belong, and you know it, right on top.
Not so loud, Doc. Take it easy.
Take it easy? But it's $2 million begging for a sleigh ride?
Maybe I will have another beer. What else do you know about this widow?
You call me, Al?
Come in, Nick. We got company.
Didn't expect me back so soon, did you, Nick?
Well, Pop, fine. I just been in for a swim. Sit down, Pop.
This sure is some swell day out, Nick. House like this, ocean right at your door. Don't blame you for wanting to take it easy.
You're itching to spill something, Pop.
Oh, you're too young to take it easy, Nick. In spite of all these high income taxes, $2 million is still a lot of money.
How much did you say? Come on, Pop, open up.
Well, there's a nice $2 million job in town, but Nick would rather go in swimming.
All right, Pop, put on the con.
I used to be a pretty fair confidence man in the old days, Nick, but age caught up with me, just like it does to all of us.
Who sent you to see me?
As far as I can make out, this is all right. Touching a guy like you, Nick, could turn it in a month.
Go on. Go on, we'll listen.
It seems there's a widow. Come out a few weeks ago from Minneapolis.
That's a switch, taking a widow.
Nick, at least listen to
this
him.
This widow can stand a take. She's loaded. You can set yourself a life, Nick, and you'd be helping me out, too. I'm sure getting tired of that 10-cent telescope.
And picking pockets while the customers are looking at the moon.
I'm getting old. I do the best I can. This widow now, she's living at the Marwood Arms. Her husband died a year or so ago, and she's lonesome. Why, it's just your day.
Women were sure swell today, Pop.
All right, Nick, if I'm born, you...
No, Pop, wait. Nick, please.
It's okay, Al. Nick always was stubborn as a mule.
I've done all right, haven't I?
Yes, you've done all right. When I was your age, I had the world by the tail, too. Making plenty of money and throwing it out the window just like you're doing. I thought there was no end to it. All right, look at me now.
I'll get sore, Pop.
Maybe you got a bankroll. Living like this, how long is it going to last? What are you going to be doing when you're 65, Nick? Selling pencils?
I don't think it'll ever come to that.
I didn't think it would either. So long, Nick.
Pop, stay for dinner. We got a good cook.
No, I got to get back to town.
Well, not on the bus anyway. Drive him in, Al.
Sure. I'll get the car, Pop.
No hard feelings.
I think you're making a mistake, Nick. But no hard feelings.
Sit down, Nick. You've been pounding that carpet ever since dinner.
I've been jumpy all evening.
Well, have a drink and relax. It was the idea coming here, wasn't it?
Sometimes ideas don't work out.
Yeah, you said it. Look at your Pop's idea for making a big roll. That sure blew fast. This afternoon, I thought you were crazy for nixing it. But I guess you were right.
Why?
Well, that proposition's pretty big, Nick. You've been away a long time.
Don't be dumb. It'd be like rolling downhill.
Well, listen, Nick, if you never want to work another deal, that's okay with me. We got plenty of dough. Only it's a shame to see a guy like you throwing away his talent. Oh, but don't let me or Pop influence you.
Get the car, Al.
Where are we going?
To see Pop.
Now you're talking, baby.
Take it easy. I'm curious, that's all. Just curious.
That's the whole story, Nick. I can set up a meeting with Doc and his boys anytime you say. Tomorrow, Nick.
There's a lot about this I don't like. Most of it, Doc Ganson.
Yeah. There's sort of a cafe on Main Street, Nick. Be a good place to meet. There's a little private room where we can talk tomorrow, huh?
Thursday. I want to look around first.
Thursday night.
Here he is, Doc. Here's Nick and Al. Told you Nick could be here.
Hiya, Blake.
Let's skip everything else, Doc, except what I'm here for.
Suits me, Nick.
Sit down, boys. Pop's information was a little sketchy. I've been doing some investigating on my own.
What do you mean, Pop's information? I located it. I steered it.
That's understood, but just to get it straight. The sucker's name is Mrs. Gladys Halverson, widow. Husband Carl Halverson died about a year ago and left her a fortune which amounts to $2 million. She's staying at the Marwood Arms in Suite 901. Anything else, Doc?
No. I guess that about covers it.
Not quite. What you didn't find out is that her business advisor is out here with her. A guy by the name of Manning. He's also staying at the Marwood Arms, which may make it a little tough. Any questions, Doc?
Nope. Look, I'm thinking on handling this case myself. All we want from you is the stake.
Pop worked this pretty smooth. He got me interested in the pitch before he told me who lined it up. If he'd mentioned your name at the start, I'd have said no. Is that plain enough? Now, if you guys want me to handle...
Taking me over to you, Mr. Blake.
All right. Now, a couple of more things. I operate alone. No interference of any kind.
None, as long as we're satisfied. After all, it's our pitch.
Listen, I'll make you a present of it right now.
Oh, don't mind Doc, Mr. Blake. He's just anxious.
How about terms? You guys located the sucker? Fine. But I got to finance the job, do all the work, take all the risk. I want two-thirds.
Two-thirds?
That's the only way I'll operate.
At least one-third for shaking Wendy and me.
Yeah, a third or something is better than all or nothing.
No. No, if it hadn't been for me, there wouldn't be any deal. I had the connections. I found the setup. It belongs to me. Nobody's going to tip me out of what's mine. Nobody.
That suits me fine. I don't want to work anyway.
Shaking me's got something to say about this, Doc.
Say it fast, then.
What do you figure the take will be?
For that kind of money, at least
$100,000. Will you guarantee us $30,000?
If I make the take, yes.
Okay. We'll go along with it.
And that's it, Doc. 10 G's apiece. That's a lot of money.
I guess we can go now, Al. Come on, Pop, you too.
You were smart to say yes, Doc.
Was I? I'm not so sure. 5 years ago, I wouldn't have let a mug like that shine my shoes. Now you guys treat him like he was somebody important.
Don't worry, Doc. He'll come too.
He wants to keep us healthy. Better come through. That's all I got to say. He better come through.
In a moment, we'll return with Act Two of Nobody Lives Forever. Meanwhile, here's Libby Collins, our Hollywood reporter. What have you been up to, Libby?
Indulging in a bit of nostalgia, Mr. Keeley. Out at 20th Century Fox today, I saw the dismantled set they used for their current release, Nightmare Alley.
Now I know why you feel nostalgic. It was the carnival set.
Yes, Mr. Keeley. Remember what fun we all had visiting that huge set? There were 10 acres of it.
Complete with sideshows, barkers, hot dog and taffy stands. I even tried my hand at a little ring talking.
You and many a famous Hollywood star, Mr. Keeley. Some of the stars brought their children to enjoy the fun of the Midway. That was a colorful, light-hearted background for a rather grim story.
Yes, Nightmare Alley is a tough, realistic drama of carnival life. It's really a study of a scoundrel. Tyrone Power, by the way, does a fine job in the role of a hard-boiled circus roustabout.
An irresistible scoundrel, though, Mr. Keeley, with no less than 28 love scenes in the picture. Divided, I hasten to add, among three leading ladies.
Yes, there's certainly plenty of feminine charm. Joan Blondell, Colleen Gray, Helen Walker.
An interesting contrast of types, don't you think, Mr. Kennedy?
Yes, each very appealing in a different way. But there's one similarity about them that struck me, Libby.
You mean, of course, that all three have lovely luxe complexions.
Then I'd be right, wouldn't I?
100%. Those three beautiful stars all use luxe toilet soap regularly. You know what a forthright person Joan Blondell is.
Yes?
Well, when I asked her about her complexion care, she said, "A Lux girl? You bet I am. Active lather facials really work for me."
Lux soap beauty facials do make skin lovelier, all right. Skin specialists proved it. In 3 out of 4 cases, daily Lux soap care made skin softer, smoother.
The fact that so many famous stars recommend Lux toilet soap shows how right it is for delicate skin.
Now, there's a beauty counsel for lovely ladies everywhere. Why not make fragrant white Lux toilet soap your daily beauty soap? Remember, it's Hollywood's own complexion care. The choice of 9 out of 10 lovely stars. We return you to William Keeley.
We continue with the second act of Nobody Lives Forever, starring Ronald Reagan as Nick and Jane Wyman as Gladys Halverson. For 2 days now, Nick Blake and Al Doyle have been occupying one of the most expensive suites in the very exclusive Marwood Arms Hotel. Purposely, Nick has avoided any contact with the affluent widow, Mrs. Halverson, or her business manager, Charles Manning. But now, at the dinner hour, Nick plans his first move.
Now, get this straight, Al. I'm not Nick Blake anymore. I'm Nicholas Lloyd. I'm in the shipping business.
Okay. We've been through all that 100 times. You're Mr. Lloyd, and I'm your secretary, Albert Hall.
Check.
There's something else I won't forget. These rooms are costing $50 a day.
I'm going down to the dining room now. Give me time to eat and then come down with this envelope. And watch your language. You're supposed to be a secretary.
Good evening, Mr. Evans.
Good evening, Mr. Manning. Is everything satisfactory?
Excellent dinner, Mr. Evans.
Thank you. If there's anything else at all that you wish, please let me know.
Yes. Now then, where was I, Gladys? Oh, yes, the 17th hole. I said to the caddy, "My mashie niblick, please." I played a little to the right for the wind, of course.
Of course.
I took a full swing, and what do you suppose happened?
Don't tell me you made it in par.
No, I lost the ball. Don't know where it went. Never did find it. Wait till tomorrow, though. I'll wager that...
I beg your pardon, Mr. Manning.
Oh, yes?
My name is Lloyd. I believe I owe you an apology.
Apology?
The manager, Mr. Evans, tells me try to introduce us in the lobby this morning. I misunderstood. I must have walked right past you. I hope I didn't seem rude.
Oh, no, not at all. Oh, Mrs. Halverson, Mr. Lloyd.
How do you do?
Won't you sit down?
Well, if I'm not intruding, I don't want to make another mistake.
You're not intruding at all.
Thank you. Mr. Evans tells me you've been out here for some time, Mrs. Halverson.
Yes, and I may stay indefinitely. It's such a beautiful place.
Your first trip to Los Angeles?
Yes.
Wonderful climate here, Mr. Lloyd. Fine for golfing. Golfer's paradise, I call it.
Excuse me, Mr. Lloyd.
Yes? Oh, my secretary, Mr. Hall. Mrs. Halverson, Mr. Manning.
How do you do, Mr. Hall?
This envelope just arrived, sir.
Adams and Company, huh? Better send them a wire, Albert. Tell them I can't possibly give an answer till the end of the week.
Yes, Mr. Lloyd. Excuse the interruption.
Business. It's always something. I'm afraid I'm finding it a little difficult to adjust myself after the Army.
Oh? Were you overseas?
Yeah. Cigarette?
Thank you.
I've leased a house out at the beach, and I was planning to spend the whole day there tomorrow, just lying in the sand doing nothing, not even thinking.
That sounds wonderful. I haven't been to the beach since I came here.
Nor I. Waste of time for me, you know. I play golf every day.
Oh. Well, I was going to suggest you both drive out to the beach with me. Well, I'd better be running along. If I want to take a day off tomorrow, I'll have to work tonight.
Mr. Evans mentioned your work to me. Shipping business, I think he said.
Well, yes, in a way. Just before the war, I got interested in maritime salvage, deep sea tugs. Should be very big once things settle down again, you see. Well, excuse me for talking, Shaw. This has really been very pleasant. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Lloyd.
Odd sort of chap, isn't he? Deep sea salvage. Sounds like an interesting project. Too bad he doesn't play golf.
Charles.
Yes, Gladys?
Do you mind if I have a brandy?
Why, Gladys, you haven't had... Why, of course. How nice to see you enjoying yourself. A waiter!
Come on, Al, let's go down and have breakfast.
Oh, I'll come so early.
Because I want to be down there when she comes in. We'll eat in the patio.
You know, Nick, that dame sure surprised me. She's a dish. You just don't figure a rich widow's going to look like that.
Bring all those phony letters and photographs along. We'll be cleaning up a few little business matters over our ham and eggs.
Ah, this sort of life sure agrees with me, Nick. Look at me, eating breakfast with the birds and the bees. I never did this in New York.
I thought you missed New York.
Me? Oh, no. Little, maybe. Hey, Nick, I wonder how Penny's doing these days.
What makes you think of Penny?
Nothing at all. I was just wondering.
Then stop wondering. It's one dame who can take care of herself. I hope I never see her again.
And speaking of dames, here she comes, a widow.
And get in the act.
Okay. It appears that several of these matters, Mr. Lloyd, come under the jurisdiction of the Coast Guard. If it's satisfactory to you, sir, I'll wire Commander Appleton that we're...
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Halverson.
Well, good morning.
Lovely morning, isn't it?
Won't you join us for breakfast?
Well, you seem very busy.
Nonsense. Put away the correspondence, Albert.
Yes, sir.
I'm always looking for an excuse to quit work. Waiter.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Halverson would like to order.
Oh, yes. I'll have the usual, please.
Yes, Mrs. Halverson.
As soon as I'm through with my correspondence, I'm going out to the beach.
How nice.
I don't suppose you could persuade Mr. Manning to give up one morning of golf.
I doubt it very much. He'd be upset the whole afternoon.
Oh, well, there you are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Manning.
I just talked to Mr. Peterson, Gladys. He's waiting for me at the Meadowbrook Club. Wants me to have breakfast with him. I was wondering if you'd
no,
like...
No, thank you, Charles. You run along.
I feel so guilty leaving you alone every day. I do wish you'd... Those photographs, Mr. Lloyd. Are those the tugboats?
These? Oh, yes.
Had no idea they're so large.
Well, this is the deep sea type, about 300 tons.
Salvage, huh? Should be a tremendous business. Very interesting. Well, Gladys, I really should be getting along.
Mrs. Halverson, why don't you come to the beach with me?
Well, thank you. I'd like to very much.
Fine. That's a good idea. Well, have a nice time. Goodbye, all.
Goodbye, Charles.
Can you be ready in an hour?
I can be ready right after breakfast.
Call the house, Albert. Tell them we'll be down around 11.
It was heavenly. I don't remember when I've enjoyed a swim so much.
Sit down. Dry off.
Oh, what a charming sun deck.
I see. Albert fixed us a drink. Here.
Thank you.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to dream about having a house right on the ocean. Do you blame me for wanting to spend all my time here?
I certainly don't, Mr. Lloyd.
What do you think about?
About you. Difficult to picture you as a boy.
Am I solemn as all that?
Oh, of course not. I just mean you appear so sure of yourself. As if you could, well, take care of yourself no matter what the surroundings were.
I was brought up in a tough school. A riverfront kid in New York. Had to fight or run. I guess I did a little of both, and I learned which to do when. I'll never forget those days.
Don't stop. It's very interesting.
It may sound interesting, but it wasn't. All I thought about was getting out. The time I was 13, I was working on a tugboat. I got kicked around plenty, but I learned the business. When a war started, I was practically running the company.
Then you've done very well, haven't you? And you can't be more than, what, 31, 2?
34. Now I'm going to do a lot better. Well, now I'm bragging.
Now you have a right to.
I really don't know why I'm telling you these things.
Please do. I don't talk much myself, but I like to listen.
Well, I like to hear myself talk, so we should get along all right.
This has been quite the nicest day I've had in a long, long time.
Doesn't take much to please you.
No, not much. I've been around so little. My husband was never in really good health, so we seldom traveled. He liked to sit at home and read a book or listen to the radio, so not that I minded. I was happy to do whatever he wanted.
You better not let otherwise hear you saying that, or they'll put you out of the union.
Well, I didn't feel as though I'd missed anything. He depended on me a great deal. You see, before we were married, I was his secretary.
Well, you're not exactly my idea of a secretary.
Well, that's because you think of me as a well-to-do woman. But it wasn't always like that. My father... Well, I think I'll say what you said. I don't know why I'm telling you all these things.
I don't know when I felt more like listening.
You don't have to be polite, Mr. Lloyd. I'm sure that all this is a little too quiet for you, isn't it? Oh, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that you're fast. It's just that you seem a little less conventional than most of the men I've met.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't tell on me, will you? Mr. Manning might not like it.
Well, I'd better start thinking about getting back to town.
Oh, of course. It'll be nice driving back. Sun's just going down. Hills will be beautiful.
Hello, Pop.
Huh? Yeah, what do you want?
What do you hurt?
About what? Talk clean, Doc.
About the deal, Nick and the team.
Listen, Doc. I'm waiting just like you are. Except I'm not worried.
When'd you talk to him last?
What is this? I come here to enjoy a glass of beer after work. Now, stop bothering.
Look, you. It's not healthy to talk to me like that.
I've talked like that to tougher guys than you. I'm past 60 and I'm still here.
Nick Blake met Mrs. Harbison 10 days ago. He's been with her practically every day since. Sometimes with that Manning guy, sometimes alone.
Well, it's fine.
Is it? Blake's playing this dame as if he were more interested in her than in her money. He's forgetting business.
I don't know what he's doing, see? But whatever it is, Nick ain't forgetting business.
I got just one more thing to say. You tell that friend of yours if he doesn't get busy.
You got anything to say, you tell it to Nick, see? And while I'm talking, I might as well tell you this. I'm sorry I got Nick tied up with you. From now on, you stay away from me, you understand?
Manning, where's Gladys?
In her rooms, I believe. I just thought we might have a little chat, you and I, before...